In Deuteronomy 15, we have the Sabbath year where there are some debts that are forgiven to the people of God. And God here encourages His people to be a merciful people who give unto the poor and give with what He calls an open hand. And He reminds them that within our hearts, we have the tendency to give grudgingly if we don't think we're going to get something in return, or if we don't think that we're going to give something back, to get something back. But God encourages us to give with an open hand. Now, it's interesting that as you look at the text, when you look at verse 7, it says, If among you one of your brothers should become poor. And then there's the encouragement to help, to show mercy in the midst of those that are poor. And then after that encouragement of, you know, if this happens, I want you to give and I want you to be open-handed in your giving. Now, if you have an open hand when you give, and I fill the, let's say, for somebody's sake, I'll fill it with silver bullion so that it's real money, and it's full of silver bullion, what can you get from my hand? Whatever you want, right? Because my hand is open, so you can take from the open hand. And God says that as we look at the poor, and it's in the context here, again, of the covenant community within the church, as we look around and we say, there are needs here, and there are needs here, and there are needs here, what should our response be? And God says, if you find the poor in your midst, you give with an open hand. And then He says, oh, and by the way, the poor will always be there. Put those together in your mind. Here we have spent a number of weeks talking about the diaconal ministry. We've talked about mercy and the way that within the body of Christ, the deacons stand between the congregation in need and the Lord Jesus, and they stand between the session and they're the facilitators of those that would be merciful to the congregation, and they're the ones that have to put their thinking caps on when you give mercy so that you're not just tossing out money and being foolish with funds. And here God says, be merciful, even open-handedly, be merciful. And by the way, it's never going to end. And doesn't Jesus tell us that as well? Jesus tells us that the poor will always be with us. If you think that there is a social program that can cure poverty, you're wrong. Because Jesus gives us the promise that the poor will always be with us. And the church has a responsibility to the poor, to exemplify Jesus Christ and to show Christian mercy as mercy ministry is done in the name of Jesus. Now, it's been said that if our church gives a penny to every person, eventually we will have nothing and nobody will be in a better place. That's a true statement, right? If we took our assets, our liquid assets, and we have property here and across the street and across the hill at the manse, if we just liquefied all of that and turned it into a big giant pile of pennies, and just one person at a time handed out pennies to be merciful, eventually we would have nothing and nobody would really be benefited from the work that we do. You see, this call to balance open-handed mercy and the fact that the poor will always be with us, it takes mediation, it takes wisdom. And God gives us an office for that. Psalm 41 says that the man is blessed who considers the poor. And the word considers is a very visual word. The word considers doesn't mean that, you know, you just go by a poor person's house and you say, oh, you know, that's really sad. It's really sad that they live that way. Or you see poor children on the streets and you say, oh, that's too bad. And then you go on living your life. The idea behind the word consider is that we are called to contemplate and we are called to meditate, and it implies that we put our thought into what has caused this to be and what is actually needed for the sake of help. Consider the poor. And this is important as we talk about mercy ministry, because what is given to the poor, what is given in at times in the name of mercy, is not always helpful. Can you believe that? There are times when the church says, I'm being merciful and I'm going to give you things in the name of mercy, and the church not actually help anyone. Again, this is why we need a diaconate to consider these things, to meditate on these things, to facilitate mercy in the life of the church. Now, recently, a police officer shot an unarmed man in Los Angeles. It was actually a towel-armed man. And when people in authority were asked why things like this continue to happen, the answer was given that there is not enough money for education. There's not enough money to educate officers that you don't shoot an unarmed man holding a towel. And the same is said in failing schools, isn't it? More money. Or politicians will say more money. But more money does not necessarily prove to be the answer. If those who spend the money are not equipped with wisdom, and if they've not contemplated, like Psalm 41 says, if they've not considered, like Psalm 41 says, then the money will not be used well. It will be wasted. That's why money is not the answer. There's something behind the funding that's necessary, and that's wisdom. It's considering. As we think about what the cost of mercy is in the life of the church, automatically our mind goes to dollars. But it's not always about dollars. Cost is not always about money. Mercy is given primarily to the diaconate because it must be understood that the office is a discerning and wisdom applying office. Remember, we can go back several weeks, we can go to Acts 6, and the apostles set aside deacons to deal with mercy so that they could focus on prayer and ministry of the word, and they sent aside men who were wise and who were filled with the Holy Spirit. Things required to consider, things required to discern, things required to look at the poor and say, what is actually needed in this situation? And the diaconate is essential for this because emotionally, the church is on opposite ends at times. You can have people that are bleeding hearts, as they're called. People that are overly emotional and don't necessarily have the discernment that is required. And maybe they would be the people that if we just made every decision as a congregation instead of making decisions in the diaconate, maybe the bleeding hearts would say, let's just give everything. Here's my shirt, here's my car, here's the title to my home, and give everything. And then there are others who are on the other end of the spectrum. Those that are tight-fisted and say, well, we shouldn't give anything because people need to be responsible and people need to be accountable and people need to do what's right. And which of those two are right? The merciful give my shirt guy or the tight-fisted you need to learn accountability? It's both. Discernment says that you take both of these things into consideration, and that is why the cost of mercy must be discerned with wisdom through the office called to mercy. The poor are to be cared for in a special way in the life of the church. And Jesus Christ loves the poor, and He loves the widow, and He loves the orphans. And Jesus calls on us to love them as well. In the book, When Helping Hurts, the authors say, the claim is not that the poor are inherently more righteous or sanctified than the rich. There's no place in the Bible that indicates that poverty is a desirable state or that material things are evil. In fact, wealth is viewed as a gift of God. And the point is simply that for His own glory, God chooses to reveal His kingdom in the place where the world in all of its pride would least expect it, among the foolish, the weak, the lowly, and the despised. So you see, through mercy and through the diaconate being those that facilitate mercy, we have opportunity to show forth the kingdom in a way that only Jesus Christ can bless. You know, we think kingdom, or the world thinks kingdom, and they think, you know, gold-leafed chairs on TBN. That's not the kingdom. The kingdom is among the lowly and the poor and the children and the orphans and the widows. And God says that in a special way, the kingdom is revealed through those things. And we have opportunity to show forth the kingdom, to magnify us and to make look more full, to look as big as it is through a mercy ministry. As the diaconate extends mercy in the name of Jesus, it must be noted that the church needs to embrace the fact that each one of us is broken. It's not those that are whole serving those that are broken. That's not the kingdom. The kingdom is, it's those that are broken are serving those who are broken. And what's that cost? What's the cost of this? Well, we know for a fact that the cost can include times when we are greatly disappointed. And hasn't that been the case? The cost is more than money. There's major disappointment that will occur as the kingdom is shown forth. Loss of opportunity to come alongside of a brother or sister and to watch them flourish under the gospel. This may be a cost as well. something that has to be weighed. Is it worth our time and our resources to invest in one, hoping that the Spirit of God will cause them to flourish under the gospel? What is the cost? The cost can be your time. And we live in a culture where time is of value. The cost can be your resources. There are things that you give, and there are things that are given in the name of mercy, and it's given, and through the diaconate, those things are administered. But I'll tell you, the cost is higher than those things. The cost is higher than money. The cost is higher than a line item on the budget. The cost is greater than your personal disappointment. The cost is greater than the opportunities, whether taken or lost. The cost is greater than the time invested in mercy ministry. The cost of mercy is greater than your resources given. The cost, congregation, is your very life. Jesus Christ calls us to a life of discipleship that includes giving up your very life. Jesus says, "He who wants to save his life will lose it. And he who loses it for my sake will find it." So we think about mercy, and we think about cost, and we want to see the kingdom of God built. But so many times we give lip service to the kingdom of God, and we say, yes, of course we want to see the kingdom of God built, but I only have time to invest in my kingdom. Friends, we're called to give our very lives for the sake of the gospel. Galatians 6:2 says, "To bear one another's burdens, that you may fulfill the law of Christ." What's the law of Christ that Paul is talking about? It's the call to love one another. And he calls us to love one another by bearing one another's burdens. Jonathan Edwards says, "In many cases, we may, by the rules of the gospel, be obliged to give to others when we cannot do it without suffering ourselves. If our neighbor's difficulties and necessities be much greater than our own, and we see that he's not like to be otherwise relieved, we should be willing to suffer with him and to take part of his burden on ourselves. Else how is that rule of bearing one another's burdens fulfilled? If we be never obligated to relieve one another's burdens, but when we can do it without burdening ourselves, then how do we bear their burdens when we bear no burden at all?" What Edwards is saying is that it's called bearing one another's burdens because it's going to be a burden on you. That's the cost of mercy in the diaconate. It's not that bearing one another's burdens is, well, my life is so perfect and easy that I'll take care of part of your life too and we'll just call it even. It's that you see a brother or sister struggling and stumbling, and the burden is taken upon yourself, and you feel the weight of that burden. Otherwise, it's not bearing a burden. You see, this is what the church of Jesus Christ is called to do, and that, by God's goodness, is facilitated through an office. Mercy has an office. As a congregation, we should feel the burden of the providential trials that have come to us in this week. We shouldn't just say, well, you know, God's sovereign and that's the way it is. Maybe I'll think about it again next Sunday when I come and see faces that remind me that there's a burden. It's a burden that we're called to carry. And as we carry that burden, which is called mercy ministry, that burden is not carried where each one of us say, well, here's what we need to do, and we just start throwing out ideas. We carry a burden, and God has set apart people by ordination for the specific task of saying, here is the plan ahead. Here's how we will carry that burden together. That is the cost of mercy ministry. The cost is great because we are called to bear the burdens of those around us. And if it's not a burden for you to carry other people's burdens, then you can't say that you are bearing one another's burdens. The cost of mercy is high. Basil of Caesarea, a church father in the 4th century, said, "It is the bread of the hungry that molds in your cupboard, and it is the garment of the naked which hangs useless in your closet." We are called to bear one another's burdens. There are great needs in the church of Jesus Christ. And the cost of mercy ministry is high. It's not just dollars and cents. It is a burden that we have the joy of carrying together. And it's the cost of discipleship, which is our very life. Mercy ministry under the leadership of the diaconate is a great blessing that flows from the throne room of God. It is a blessing that flows from the people of God being in relationship with the God of the universe, the one who says that He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and if He were in need, He would not tell us. Friends, that means that even though the cost is high in money, in resources, in emotional pain, in burden bearing, who is the one that stands behind the call to mercy? God doesn't say, now go do this and I'm hands off. I'm going to watch. I'm going to see how you do. God says, you give to the poor in your midst, and you do so with an open hand, and I'm never going to take the poor away from you. But I'm going to give you opportunity to show forth the glory of the kingdom of Jesus Christ as you give mercy. There is a cost. It will be a financial cost to the church. But the cost is greater than money. It will cost us our lives as Jesus has called us to follow Him and to show grace and mercy to those who are in need around us. But we are not left alone. As God promises to provide for all the needs of the people. So he says, do mercy and it will cost you. And I will provide for that which it costs. As the diaconate facilitates the life of mercy in the church, we have this promise again that Jesus Christ would be with us even to the end of the age. In congregation, that is great encouragement to obediently move ahead with mercy in the diaconate and mercy unto the glory of Christ. Amen.